But we want to just take a minute and remember those. See, there's Tammy's song to dance to. It's good. But I don't even know what the song was. Maybe it's not a good song. But anyways, we want to remember those who are far from God, and this will help direct our attention. And, you know, this is something between you and God, and those five people, I believe, we're going to believe God's going to do something great in their life sooner than later. I said there's no expiration date on our prayers, but so we're just believing that God is going to move quickly in their lives and bring them back to life and raise them up from where they are right now. And so would we just pause this morning and begin to pray for some of those people? I'll just pause, I'll be quiet, and then I'll just, you just think of the, if you don't have the card in front of you, that's okay. I'm pretty sure you'll remember the people on your list, but would you just take a minute now between you and God and just begin to intercede for their salvation this morning? Just begin to pray for them today. So our Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would draw the names that are on our list today. Would you draw them to your Son? We pray, O God, that you would remove any spiritual blindness that exists. Lord, whether it's willful or spiritual today, we ask that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, come against the other forces of darkness that try to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. We pray today that you would give those on our list, Lord, the opportunity and the knowledge of repentance today. So just like you've done with us, that we would turn from our sin and turn to the higher things of God. We pray that over our list this morning. We pray for ourselves, for our church, for us as individuals, God, and our own families, that we'd have opportunities. Lord, we'd have boldness and courage to share the gospel message, the gospel of hope, the gospel of peace, love, joy, endurance, patience, kindness, faithfulness, all the things we're talking about this summer, oh God. We pray, God, not just for their own salvation this morning, but we pray for the salvation of the families of every single name written on our cards. We pray today not only would our prayers be heard by you, which we know they are, we have faith to believe, but God, today we have faith to believe that you will answer and you will draw those closer to your kingdom. Lord, if they live far away, we pray that they would find a church close to them that would reach out as well, that you would use your family, your kingdom, to reach out to those that are far from you, O God. We just thank you now for your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to jump into our series here called The Fruitful Summer. And I don't know if you can read the screen from way back there, but it's pretty good up there on this big screen. It says, joy and peace, peace and joy. And so I gave you some homework, and you can probably read this book of the Bible just about every single week, and you'll learn something new. And so if you read through Galatians 5 yet, good for you. If you have not read through, not just Galatians 5, but the book of Galatians, good job. If you haven't read through it yet, I would encourage you to take a moment this summer and read through it. Maybe you've got a Bible reading plan that you already follow. That's great. Maybe you don't read the Bible at all. Not so great. But if you want to get closer to Jesus, let me give you this example. I was listening to this speaker, leadership coach, pastor, and he's quite well known. And he was on a podcast, and you know, he gets messages to his Instagram account. Oh, would you be my mentor? And so what he does is, if you want me to be your mentor, what I want you to do first is read all the books that I have written, listen to the podcasts that I've produced, and when you've done that, come back to me. And so many times people do that, and they go, oh, actually, I've learned everything I need to learn from you, because it's all in the books that you've written and the podcasts that you've shared and the blogs and all that stuff. And so he said, you know, there's some young leaders that reach out to him and say, oh, would you be my mentor? And he says the same thing. Well, go read my books, listen to the podcast, do the things that I've already produced and follow along. And they say, no, I don't really want to do any of that. I just want to be with you and spend my time with you, and how flattering that must be. And he says, look, if you're not going to put in the work and the effort, then I'm not going to spend my time sharing what I've already written down with everybody else unless you're willing to put the work in. Now, God doesn't quite work that way, but the point is this, is if you want to get closer to God and know a little bit more about him and you want to do things a little bit different in your life, then we want to read the words that God has written to us, and that's the Bible. That's why we want to come to church regularly. We talk about the word. We preach the word of God. We live out the word of God together. We're not looking for perfect people this morning. We're just looking for people that are willing to put in the effort and the work to encourage one another. And maybe we're not going to get it right all the time, but then we got someone with a sharp elbow to just hit us in the ribs at just the right time to say, smarten up, Gary, like get on with it already. Like do better because I love you and this is not who you are anymore. So cut it out, knock it off. And usually that happens after the Holy Spirit's already spoken to us. And so we want to get close to God as much as we can. And one of the ways we do that, of course, is gathering together and reading the Word of God. And so all that to say, side note, not in the notes this morning, if you want to read through the book of Galatians, there's some really good opportunities for us to grow in our faith in there. One of the key themes of the book of Galatians particularly says in chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I'll say it again so that we remember. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Galatians 5:16, Paul instructs the people in Galatia, says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't do whatever feels good. Because the world tells you, whatever feels good, just do it. You buy Nike shoes, they tell you, just do it. You know, should I buy the on-sale item or should I buy the bougie expensive name brand salad dressing, Rene's Caesar salad dressing? My budget can't handle the Rene's salad dressing, but I saw the Nike shoe and it said just do it and I feel like I want that one, so I'm going to get the Rene's salad dressing. If you can't afford Rene's salad dressing, just get Rene to make you a salad and it'll be the same thing, I tell you. But the world tells you, whatever feels good, do it. And Paul says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And many of us in this room, we've gone through a transformation experience. We've done everything we can to experience gratification. We've done all we can to experience pleasure. We've done all we can to feel good. And yet we've tried all the things and maybe it's good for a moment. But what happens is, over time, it leaves us feeling empty. It doesn't satisfy, it doesn't fulfill any longer. And so Paul instructs the Christians in Galatia, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then we get to where our series starts this summer, Galatians 5, 19 to 26, and he gives us the full list of spiritual fruit. And he compares it with the list of earthly desires. And then finally, he closes off the chapter and he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Have you ever done a three-legged race? You get two people, you stand beside each other and you tie their legs together and then you have to do a race, like run. It's one of the most dangerous ways to play a game and sprain a bunch of ankles. It's hilarious and fun. So they said. But if you get out of the step or out of the rhythm with the person doing the three-legged race, what happens? You twist ankles, you tumble, you fall, you lose the race. And so Paul says, stay in step with the Spirit. So it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Let me ask you this question. I think I asked it last week at Church at the Beach, but I'll ask it again. Why would Jesus go through all the suffering? Why would Jesus take on all of that pain? Why would Jesus do all of that to set you free just so you could walk back into the slavery that he saved us from? He didn't. He didn't do all that so we could go back to the way things were. It doesn't make sense. We go back to old habits and old mindsets and old relationships and old ways of thinking all the time, though, because that's what we know. That's what's familiar to us. And so we do the things that we've always done. And if you do the things you've always done, you'll always be where you've always been. You can recite that back to me. I will make sure Pastor Katie gives you a chocolate bar next week. Okay? But if you do the things you've always done, you'll always be where you've always been. And so Christ set us free so that we could do new things so we wouldn't be where we've always been, but he's called us into something greater, something much better, and a higher calling and a higher purpose for us. And so don't go back to the old habits. Don't go back to the old mindsets. Don't go back to the old relationships. Don't go back to the old way of thinking, because Christ has already broken those chains of slavery. Now, that's what we do in the flesh. That's what feels right, because that's what we've always done. But Christ has called us into something much greater and much, much better than it used to be. And so let me give you an example. If you gossip all the time, did you hear? I heard a few things the other day, by the way. Can I tell you? No? Okay. If that's where you come from, remember, does gossip build up or tear down? Right? Why do we want to know the information so bad? Because I know something about you. And no one else knows it. But everyone else knows it, but I know it, which means I now have power and I have control over your feelings and your thoughts. Does gossip build up or break down? Breaks down. So instead of gossip, what should we be filling our mind with? Well, one, if we hear gossip, either ignore it or shut it down. It's just not true anyway. And if it is true, it's not your business. And if it is your business because they're your friend, your loved one, then do you think they need you to build them down or build them up? I need you to build them up. If someone's doing something they're not supposed to do, like going to a Coldplay concert, you are all on social media. Right? We don't need the world to call out our sin, do we? What do we need to call out our sin? We need the ever-loving presence and grace of Jesus Christ to come and wrap his arms around us and lift us up from the pit that we found ourselves in. And so instead of the train of gossip and the train of sharing memes on social media, as funny as they are, some of them are hilarious. We want to be like the hands and feet of Jesus. And maybe it means physically giving somebody a hug and letting them know that everything is going to be okay. Maybe it's just embracing them and their failures in their moment and encouraging them on a new path to something greater. Now, Paul, he doesn't hold back in the book of Galatians, which I think is why it's important for us to read it, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I could use a good kick in the head some days. Slap in the face, wake-up call, punch in the nose. Some of you just need pixie dust probably, but Paul doesn't hold back. Galatians 3, he says, you foolish Galatians. Galatians 4, he says, I'm in the pains of childbirth is how much you drive me crazy. I think that's wild, a man explaining childbirth to the church. But why does Paul get so dramatic? Paul gets so dramatic because he's passionate about the people in the church. He's passionate because he sees their potential. He sees what God wants to do. He sees what God is doing. And he sees what God could do through these people that he's ministering to if they would only. If they could capture a little bit of the gospel message just a little bit more in their lives, Paul can just begin to see the potential that exists. And so he's passionate about these things. He says, Christ saved you out of this life. Don't go back to it. He made you somebody new. Don't go back to the way things were before. I've done a new thing in your life. They had many things working against them because culture, religion, family, other customs, social customs got in the way of their God-given freedom. But Paul says, stand firm in the freedom and not be burdened against a yoke of slavery. All right, that was a little bit what I shared last week on the beach. Then we started talking about the fruit of the Spirit in general. And what we learn is that fruit must be grown, it must be cultivated, and it must be pruned. You have to prune the branch to get good, healthy fruit. Sometimes our transformation happens instantly. Most of the time, it takes time. Time and time and time again, it takes more and more time. It takes being intentional. It takes being strategic. It takes walking with somebody else, walking with the gardener. John 15, Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. Paul gives us this list. It's not a checklist of things to do. He's painting a picture of what the church is becoming and what they could become. The fruit of the Spirit is not what you do, it's who you are. It's not like, okay, I showed a little bit of love today, check. I was full of joy today, check. I'm very peaceful today, check. Now, all of these things all encompass the presence and Spirit of God in our life. Matthew 7:16, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says it best. He says, by my fruit, by your fruit, you will recognize them. He said, well, he says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. He's talking about his followers. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Not by their preaching, their gifting, their platform, or their Instagram handles or pictures or anything like that. He says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Fruit is not a gift like we talked about, the gifts of the Spirit. It's cultivated, grown, and planned. We talked last week about the first fruit of the Spirit being love. And we talked about love first, one, because it's the first in the list that Paul gives us. But every other mention of the fruit stems from this fruit of love. Holy, godly, Christian love goes beyond other forms of feelings of love. Christian love, love when it hurts, serves without being thanked, and reaches the outsider, the lonely, and even the enemy. It's not fueled by passion, it's fueled by obedience. Christian godly love that Paul talks about is not fueled by passion, it's fueled not by emotion, but by obedience. If you want to see another example of love, you can head to Romans chapter 12. And it's kind of a toolbox of what this Christian love looks like. So when Jesus says, love one another, Paul gives a list to the Romans. And he says, here's kind of the toolbox. Show hospitality. Outdo one another in showing honor. Bless those who persecute you. And finally, do not repay evil for evil. Overcome evil with good. This is the kind of love that's gritty, it's resilient, and it's supernatural because it comes from the Spirit of God working inside of us. Because I don't know about you, if someone cuts me off in traffic, which I anticipate will happen in the next week or so, how does that make you feel when someone cuts you off in traffic? What's the first thing out of your mouth? Guess what Pastor Gary says? Oh, God bless them. Not a chance. It's usually, learn how to drive, Bill. But it's this kind of love that is supernatural. And the good news, the beautiful thing is you don't have to manufacture this on yourself. You're allowed to have a bad day. You're allowed to feel like, I hate that person. That's just normal. This person drives me crazy. I hate this. But instead of taking it out on them, we gotta shoot it up the ladder to God. And let his Spirit supernaturally take over our tongue. Let him take hold of our thoughts. Because we are not the people we used to be. Now, we're going to move into joy this morning because I said we're going to talk about joy and peace. And now I'm halfway through, we're going to jump through joy and peace. Anyone here grew up going to Sunday school? Like as a kid? Okay, like four of you will know this song. So if I sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, where? Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. To stay. And then what's the second part? And I'm so happy, so very happy, I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy. You know the song. Good job. Okay. Everyone else is like, you guys are nuts. But I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Not just a happy, Pastor Katie gave us the quick version of this already with the kids, but joy is not just a happy feeling. It's far more than just having fun. It's not just a smile we put on our face or when people are watching us. It's an active delight in the things of God. So even as we should just sing Waymaker every week because I keep referencing it. But we sing the song Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, God, you're working. That's who you are. Even on our worst day, we can be full of joy. Even in our morning, not like maybe before coffee morning, but M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, morning, we can have joy. Because joy delights in the good things of God. It doesn't take pleasure in cues from emotions. It doesn't take its cue or its instruction from circumstances. Joy comes from the delight in the good things of God, in the saving work, in the truth, in what God is doing in our fellow believers, and the eternal hope we have in Christ. Can I share a moment of honesty with you? Comparison, you probably know this. Comparison is one of the worst enemies to our faith. In fact, I think it's one of the worst things that helps destroy us and causes us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. It causes us to think things that we shouldn't think. You want to hear my moment this week? You're like, yeah, give it to me so I can gossip about you later, Gary. It's not gossip because I'm telling you. So we hosted a baptism last Sunday. Anytime someone gets baptized, anytime someone makes the decision to follow Jesus, you know what happens in heaven? You know what scripture says happens? It says all of heaven erupts in celebration when one life is turned from darkness to light. When one person makes a decision to repent and go from the way they used to do things and turn to the higher things of God, it says all of heaven erupts in celebration. And so baptism is a little bit of that celebration here on earth. We cheer and we celebrate. We bring our family and our friends and we gather around because it's a big deal celebration. But what does the enemy try to do? The enemy tries to do the opposite. He tries to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And so we had this fabulous Sunday experience last Sunday at the beach. Beautiful weather, great people, there was food, and people got baptized. I went and did a wedding at the Scriber Beach, and then I met PJ and Shane here, and we put in a window. We got lots of work done, not as much work as we wanted to, but we got lots of work done. I can get the projects on the go. It's awesome. And then I got home, and that night, what did I see on social media? Oh, the devil is in social media. Don't use it, people. I see Pastor Jamie Greenwood at Spring Bay Pentecostal Church on beautiful Manitoulin Island, and he doesn't have three people that he just baptized. He's got like 15 people that he just baptized. And so what does the devil do? Well, you're a better pastor than he is. How come he's baptizing more people than you are, Pastor Gary? And I tell you what, that was the legitimate feeling that I, and the words that were getting whispered into my ear. That's horrible. Because what happens when just one person makes the decision to follow Jesus? All of heaven erupts. And so it doesn't matter how many people Pastor Jamie. Praise God that Pastor Jamie on Manitoulin Island at Spring Bay Pentecostal Church baptized 15 people last Sunday. Praise God that at North Shore Church on one Sunday we baptized three people that have turned their lives around because of the power and grace of Jesus Christ. It is so easy to get caught up in the lies of the enemy and think, well, God just doesn't care about me that much. God wants to do something great over there. No, God wants to do something great right here. In fact, I would argue if you're sitting in the room, if you're online this morning, God has already started to do something great within you. If you have made the decision to follow Jesus, God has done more than enough in you already. Joy is the experience of gladness that is rooted in the Holy Spirit. It's an active delight in the good things of God. And so when we have our feelings of feeling down, when we have the lies of the enemy whispering in our ear, we come back to this word joy because joy is not happiness. It does not delight in our feelings. It does not delight in circumstances. It delights in the good things of God, and it delights in the good things that God is doing. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. When I'm feeling down, think about these things. When my world falls apart, think about these things. When I get bad news, the news that I wasn't expecting, think about these things. When the devil whispers in my ear, think about these things. Turn our hearts and our attention onto the greater things of God, and we will experience the joy that comes in the morning. Matthew 2:10 says, when they saw the star, when the wise men from the east saw the star, they realized hope had come. Years and years of prophecy, studying the stars and studying the constellations in the sky, this new star appears. And suddenly, the picture is complete. And they are overjoyed, and they go and find Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verse 20, but rejoice. The root word of that word, rejoice, has the word joy in it. Your names are written in heaven. God, I'm going through hell on earth right now, but praise God, my name is written in the book in heaven. Maybe that's the only moment and source of your joy in those tough moments. John 15:11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. These all illustrate the joy that is linked to the presence of God, the fulfillment of promises and the assurances of salvation. This is joy beyond external circumstances. So ask yourself this question. Am I trying to manufacture happiness or joy with external pleasures and desires? Or are we letting Christ, am I letting Christ build and cultivate freedom in me? A freedom that produces joy. Once we kind of get a grasp of this idea of God's love and the love that he gives us in the fruit, once we get this idea of joy, these two things, I believe, it's not necessarily, the fruit isn't necessarily a math equation, but I kind of feel like in this situation it is. Because if we can master experiencing, feeling, and sharing God's love, and we can master experience and share the joy that Paul talks about here, I believe joy plus love equals peace, which is the third fruit of the Spirit. The peace that Paul speaks of in Galatians is more than just the absence of conflict. Think about the eye of a tornado. It's like the calmest part of the storm is in the eye of the storm. There's chaos and circumstances, things flying and spinning all around, but in that moment, I am at peace. The peace that Paul talks about is not the absence of conflict. It's more than just quietness and rest. It is full of life. It includes health. It includes wholeness. It includes harmony and overall well-being. I believe that joy plus love equals peace. When we begin to experience peace, I believe it helps us move ahead in God and in unity. It helps us recognize our need for real fellowship with each other and with the Lord. When we come together and we have fellowship, as we call this, or the coming together of the church, it's a moment where no matter what's about to happen this week, no matter what happened last week, I have at least set this time apart where I can refocus or keep my focus on the important things, on the good things of God, on the family of God, the people that he has surrounded me with. Peace is a tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Jesus Christ. It fears nothing. It's from God, and it's not content with earthly things. Galatians, Paul emphasizes that the transformative power of the gospel, the same power that raised Christ from the dead that lives within us, it brings peace between God and humanity. The use of this peace highlights this difference between the legalistic turmoil of things and the grace and tranquility found in God's grace. Paul uses the term peace in many times, Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:3, and we read it already, Philippians 4, but verse 7. In these instances, peace refers to the reconciliation that we have through God. You know, one of the biggest things that we as people suffer with at the end of the day is the God question. Is God real? And if he's real, where do I stand with him? Whether people care to admit it or not, all of us think about these deep philosophical questions at times. Is there a God? And if he's real, where do I stand? What does that mean for me? When we experience reconciliation with God, we experience coming home to him, much like the story of the prodigal son. You can read that another day. When we understand that we can belong to God and he wants us to belong with him, once we overcome some of those spiritual burdens, we know and experience this peace that Paul talks about. It's a peace that goes beyond our understanding. Philippians 4, 4 to 7 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. He says, I'll say it again so you don't forget. He says, rejoice. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Verse 6, he says, don't be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And if you do all of those things, what does he say? And the peace of God, which transcends, which goes above your understanding, it'll guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because what happens when we're not at peace, right? We get worried about things. We get anxious about things. And we get worried and anxious about some of those things. What happens inside of us? Well, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel right. So what do I got to do? If I'm going to go off my feelings, then I'm going to do whatever feels good. Well, I don't want to do whatever feels good because whatever feels good isn't always the right thing. I want to do the obedient thing. Well, I can't do the obedient thing if my feelings aren't in check. Right, Andrew? I can't do the obedient thing if my feelings are all over the place. Now, we may go through an emotional crisis and we may have all the feelings. That's okay to have the feelings. But it's when they start to control us that we run into a problem. Because God saved us and he reconciled us to overcome the world. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, fear not, for I have overcome the world. And so even in the moments of anxiety, in the moments of those racing thoughts, or in the moments of the pain, in the moments of the suffering, we know the end of the story. We know at the end of the day, when we are reconciled with God, when I know that I'm good with God because of his grace in my life and my faith placed in Jesus, I know that at the end of the day, even if I breathe my last breath on this earth, I know that I will be safe and at peace with the Father in heaven forever. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And so you don't forget it. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. You know, this is a formula that Paul gives to the Philippians. This is a formula he gives. When you face a crisis, when you have a prayer request, when there's something going on in your life and you need God to intervene, what's the first thing that Paul says to do? Rejoice. Be full of joy. And so you don't forget it, Paul says, do it again. Be full of joy. And where does joy come from? If you were just listening a few minutes ago, it comes from delighting in the good things of God. Joy comes from delighting in the good things of God. So when you're going through a crisis, as awkward and as weird as it would seem, do what you got to do to delight in the good things of God. You could be like me and grab the guitar and start to worship, or turn the music up loud and just start to worship and sing songs of praise that declare the goodness and majesty and wonder of God. You may have noticed this morning my guitar did not come through the sound system because as we started playing, I realized the battery must have died. It's because I was on a really difficult phone call this week, and after I got off the phone call or Zoom call, I grabbed the guitar and I came in here, I plugged it in, I just worked, I turned it up really loud. I didn't close the windows. The neighbors are probably like, why is it so loud in there? But I just took a moment and I worshiped and I praised God. I delighted in the good things of God because joy doesn't come from the circumstance. Joy doesn't come from feelings. Joy doesn't come from doing whatever feels good. Joy comes from delighting in the good things of God. This is the formula that he gives us. When we go through crisis, when we go through a moment, he says, don't be anxious about anything. Take a moment, take a breath, breathe, situation by situation, moment by moment. Continue to pray, continue to petition with God. And the formula for that is to always come from a posture of gratitude. He says, with thanksgiving. You don't have to wait till the second weekend of October for Thanksgiving. You can be grateful at any time. Be thankful in every moment. And in your thankfulness, in your gratitude, present that request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all the understanding, when the chaos and the conflict is still happening all around you, you can rest and you can know that your soul is at peace with God. And as you are at peace with God, as you are the calm in the middle of the storm, or rather, as Jesus is the calm in you in the middle of the storm, that peace does not stay bottled up inside of you. But as you're posture changes, as you take a deep breath and you relax and you breathe. You don't understand why you feel the way that you feel, other than the fact you know this formula that Paul gives us. But the people around you that are in chaos, they might catch you out of the corner of their eye, and they go, "What's wrong with you? You should be freaking out right now, but you're not. You should be losing your mind like the rest of us. You should be running around in circles, buying up all the toilet paper, because who knows when we're going to get more." That was a weird season, wasn't it? What happens is we become peacemakers. Now, the other thing that peace does is it says, Paul says, it will guard your heart and it'll guard your mind. Because that chaos is going to try to pull you into it, no matter what. That old life is going to try to suck you back in. But when we have this moment of experiencing the fruit of peace, it protects us. It protects and guards our mind and our heart. We know the enemy comes to steal, kill, rob, and destroy. But the peace of God, the presence of God in our life, guards against the voices of the enemy. Peace protects and makes us peacemakers. Throughout the New Testament, peace, we see it many times. John 14:27, Jesus speaks of giving people the world, giving peace the world cannot give them. In Acts 10:36, Peter declares that God sent the message of peace through Jesus Christ. Both these examples illustrate the peace that is central to new life in Jesus Christ. If you're following Jesus and you're not at peace, like, there's moments and things that come up. We understand. We get it. There's things that you don't have an answer for, and it can cause us to feel uncertain about things. It's okay. But peace is not just a personal experience. It's something that we share and we build together, because it's a reality that reflects the kingdom of God. Peace is a gift from God that we must cultivate like every other fruit. When I get out of line, when I take a step back, no, I gotta cultivate. What did Paul say to do in these moments? Where does joy come from? All right, if I get joy figured out, what happens? Peace. Peace happens. We have to cultivate it. We have to create patterns in our life that are peaceful patterns, right? Because the world will always be in some level of chaos or mess. There will always be some level of dysfunction around us. And so we have to cultivate peace by putting in steps and boundaries and things in place that protect that peace. It means surrounding yourself with peaceful people. It means surrounding yourself in the presence of God regularly, much like we talked about earlier. And so today, the question that we are left with, are we reflecting God's peace? Because we're reflecting something at some point. Someone is picking something up from us. But what are we reflecting? Are we reflecting God's peace? Are you a peacemaker? And I would like to think that anytime someone outside of our church comes into contact with someone that is a part of our church, and I can go beyond just thinking and wishing that to be true and praying that to be true, but there are moments and stories and situations where I have heard that that is true, that any time someone has interacted with one of you, they just go, there is something different about that person, and I feel something different when I'm around them. You know, they don't use those exact words, but that's what they're saying. And that's because you walk with Jesus. That's because you're cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Whether it's at work or just in the grocery store or talking to the neighbor, handing out free bracelets and tattoos at Heritage Days or Lighthouse Festival, doing a bake sale uptown on August 2nd, bringing in heavy equipment on September 6th for people to have fun and touch a truck. There is just something different when people interact with the people of God, because we are fully embraced by the love of Jesus, convicted by the love of Jesus, to share the very love that we experience with others. So since we live by the Spirit, as Paul says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's stay in step, stay in sync, and stay surrendered. Let's pray this morning. God, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your joy, and I thank you for your peace. God, I thank you for the peace that comes beyond our understanding, Lord, beyond the moment of an experience. But God, today I pray that these words of Scripture from Galatians would resonate in our hearts. Lord, even next week as we explore the next fruit of the Spirit, patience. Lord, we can't have patience without peace. And so, God, today I pray that your Spirit would begin to work inside of us, that, Lord, we would begin to cultivate this gift. We would begin to cultivate, Lord, your character of peace and joy and love. And I pray the world would notice. I pray that our families, oh God, would notice something different about us. Something inspiring, something convicting, oh God. Something that would say, I want that too. Lord, we just come back to those five people on our lists, on our bless card lists, oh God. We pray that they would see the difference, not just by our words, but also by our actions, oh God. We pray a blessing over our church, pray a blessing over our communities here on the North Shore, oh God. And we pray a blessing to those who have gathered here from online, from all over the province and beyond, oh God. We just thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.